This message was recorded for the edification of the body of Christ by Pastor Gordon Gibbs at the Light of Life Ministry Studios in Penrith, New South Wales, Australia. We trust that as you listen, you will be encouraged, inspired, and spiritually enriched.
My subject for today is the Word of Faith. And let us pray and ask God's assistance as we share the Word together. Heavenly Father, we ask in Jesus' name your divine help that we may better understand the principles of faith and that we may be able to serve you more effectively and be of greater assistance to others. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. The life of faith has for a long time been a deep challenge to me. I am convinced that we've hardly scratched the surface of what God wants to have us do in Jesus' name, both by way of experience of his glory and the mighty manifestations of his power. The magnitude of his power and the manifestations of his love is yet to be depth to the glory of God by the people of faith. The majority of the work done in Jesus' name is done at the level of what we can do and not at the level of what we cannot do. Real faith begins with the impossible. Real faith begins with the miraculous. Real faith begins with the supernatural. If all you ever get from God is what you'd normally get without faith, you don't need faith. Faith is given to us so that we can reach into the limitless resources of God and get what we would not normally get except that we've prayed and believed and trusted God and had faith. In Hebrews 11:6, without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. The word of faith. When God created mankind, he made him to have dominion and to have authority. And in Genesis 1:26, God said, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, fill the earth, subdue it, have dominion over it." This decree gave to mankind the power and the authority to govern every created thing. All the inhabitants of the earth were subject to his command and his authority. The fish, the birds, the elements, the animals, everything that was created by God on this earth was under the authority and command of man. And this was demonstrated when the animals entered Noah's Ark in a quiet, docile and unrebellious way. Christ demonstrated the authority entrusted to mankind when he walked on the water. Still the raging storm fed thousands of people from a few small fish and a few rolls of bread. And he healed all that were sick. And he said in John 13, "I've given you an example that you should do as I have done." The potential of faith is so great that we've never depthed it, but I believe that before the coming of Christ, we will depth the power and the wonder of faith. At creation, man was God's representative on earth. Adam was God's ambassador, God's envoy. He spoke for God, and God trusted him implicitly. It was a most beautiful relationship. Every evening, God would walk and talk with Adam and Eve in the garden. God's faith, God's love, and God's power were entrusted to mankind to use that authority and power under the unctionizing touch of the Holy Spirit. Harmony and love pervaded the world of Adam and Eve. It was an idyllic, a beautiful life. Adam, Eve, God. However, man by his own choice sinned, disobeyed God, became an enemy of God. The divine mandate was shattered. Man became separated from the mighty resources of God, enslaved by his own sin, subject to infirmity, death, storms, tempest, and fire. Spiritual, mental, and physical sickness engulfed him. Mankind had lost his dominion. He was reduced to his own weak, puny resources. And today, we see a war-torn, sick, dying, diseased, distressed, and tormented world. However, despite this horrible picture of failure and sin, God made a way of escape. He introduced a fresh program. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thine house. the universal remedy, the panacea. Christ came to reverse man's bondage, give us back our dominion and our authority, to restore to us all that sin and Satan had stolen. And everything that mankind lost through Adam's sin was restored by Jesus Christ nearly 2,000 years ago. And in 1 John 3:8, the purpose the Son of God was manifested was to destroy the works of the devil. Through Jesus, the bondage of sin is broken. Through Jesus, the bondage of fear and the bondage of disease is broken. Every negative thing is overcome by Jesus through the power of the cross, who did it all on our behalf. Jesus Christ, by his birth, death, and resurrection, paid the price in full for our sin. Just before his crucifixion, Jesus said, "Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of this world be cast out." By his resurrection, Jesus Christ conquered the world, the flesh, and the devil on our behalf. Jesus said, "Fear not the devil. I have already overcome him. Resist the devil. He will flee from you. I have given you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." We've now been set free to be more than conquerors in every life situation. Although full restitution has been made for every born-again Christian, we will not fully regain our lost dominion until the day of the resurrection. However, we can certainly be confident of invincible strength in every situation which challenges the outworking of God's will in our lives. Nothing should interfere with the outworking of the perfect will of God in each one of our lives. Love, joy, peace, health, prosperity is our inheritance by faith through Jesus. But the release of that victory lies in your own faith. By faith we must lay hold of God's mighty promises, make these promises a reality in our lives. As the scriptures say in 1 John 5:4, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. By faith we can conquer the world. By faith we can regain the control that Adam lost. By faith we can turn this nation around for God and for good. Listen to what the Bible says. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. If my people who are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. The future of our nation does not rest with the politicians, or with the government, or with the armed services, or the police force, or the local authorities. The future of our nation rests fairly and squarely upon the shoulders of the church. My people can turn this nation around, the Bible says. By faith we can master every circumstance, either to change it or remain in God's will despite it. Nothing can defeat the man or the woman of God who in resolute faith knows their position in Christ. As Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Some people are under their circumstances. Some are on top of their circumstances. The difference is faith. Some believe and please God with their believing. To them is given the abundant supply of heaven's resources. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Others are filled with jealousy, fear, anxiety, doubt, unbelief. By their lack of faith, they're really calling God a liar. No wonder they receive nothing from God. The Bible says, when you ask, ask nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven by the wind and tossed. Let not that man think that he shall receive anything from the Lord. No wonder the Bible says, without faith it is impossible to please God. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And my first point is, everyone has faith. Everyone has faith in Romans 12:3, according as God hath dealt to every man a measure of faith. Everyone has the potential ability to believe in God. We'll have the capacity for faith. The Bible says God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. The fact that you have fear proves that you have faith, because fear is faith in reverse. Now, there's a legitimate fear, a cautionary fear that warns us of danger. That is not faith in reverse. But when fear takes possession of us, controls, torments us, then that fear has mastered our capacity for faith, mastered our emotions, and taken control of our life. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear, for fear has torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Jesus said, fear not, only believe. All things are possible to him that believes. Jesus said, you must have faith and doubt not. Ask in faith, nothing wavering. Great faith is that faith in which there is no element of doubt. Jesus and the disciples are in a boat, and a horrendous storm arose. The disciples became frightened, fearful, anxious, and distressed. Jesus was asleep. They awoke Jesus and they said, Lord, don't you care that we perish? Jesus spoke twice. Firstly, he said, where is your faith? They had the faith to still the storm until they let fears disannul their faith. And then Jesus said, peace, be still. There was a great calm. The waves fell away. The storm ceased. The lightning ceased. And there was a great calm. And the disciples said, what manner of man is this, that even the winds and the seas obey him? Jesus had said, I have given you an example that you should do as I have done. Faith is the outreach of the human heart to God, based on unwavering confidence in God's word, God's will, and God's ability. Yes, faith is the outreach of the human heart to God, based on unwavering confidence in God's word, God's will, and God's ability. Only an accurate knowledge of God's word can enable us to have great faith in God. I cannot have faith in someone that I know nothing about. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Mark the 9th chapter, we have the account of a man who had a son. And this son was demonically possessed. He'd been everywhere trying to get assistance, trying to get help. He brought him to the disciples. They couldn't heal him. So he brought him to Jesus. And he said to Jesus, Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. Wherever he seizes him, he throws him down, he foams at the mouth, he gnashes his teeth, he becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they would cast him out, but they could not. Jesus said, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him to me. Then they brought him to Jesus. When he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him. He fell on the ground. He wallowed. He foamed at the mouth. Jesus asked his father, how long has this been happening to him? The father said, childhood. Often he's thrown both into the fire, into the water, and destroyed him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. Immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Now what was this man really saying? Here he was, he brought his son to Jesus, and he pleaded with Jesus, have compassion on us if you can help us. Jesus refused to take the responsibility for the healing of the child. He said to the father, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And probably for the first time, the father realized that it was his faith that was going to determine whether his son was healed or not. He probably expected Jesus to prepare some potion or speak some magical words and do it all. But no, Jesus threw the responsibility back on the father. He said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him that believes. And immediately the father cried out with tears, and he said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Now what was the father saying? He was saying, Lord, I believe in God. I believe in being good. I believe in the Bible. But help my unbelief. Have I got enough faith that this son of mine, who was born this way, can be healed? Jesus encouraged him, took authority over the demonic power, and instantly the child was healed. My second point is great faith is born prayer. Great faith is born prayer. I'd like to ask you a question. Did you pray last night? You did? What did you ask God for? If you can't remember, don't expect an answer. Our prayers have got to mean something to us. Are they going to mean anything to God? We've got to have constantly upon our hearts what we're believing God for. We must be holding these things before God and know exactly what we're believing God for, because God wants us to be sincere and earnest and keep pressing into Him. You know, in the original it says in Matthew, he that asks and keeps on asking shall receive. That's in the original language. He that seeks and keeps on seeking. He that knocks and keeps on knocking. Friends, we've got to keep pushing into God and believing God. And often, every time we ask, our faith rises just a little higher. Why did Christ spend so much time in prayer? Surely he lacked nothing. He knew that the faith that was in him would become activated, alive, powerful, and irresistible. The Bible says he returned in the power of the Spirit. And the disciples said, Lord, teach us to pray. They recognized the association between his prayer life and his powerful ministry, his powerful love, his incredible effectiveness. And they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And Jesus said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. The greatest function of prayer is to create faith so that we may not be weak but strong, and may gloriously overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. Faith development is largely dependent on prayer. Prayer turns little faith into great faith. So firstly, everyone has the potential of faith. Secondly, great faith is born of prayer. And thirdly, faith is based on knowledge. I have a friend, he lives in Singapore, haven't seen him for a few years, and he has a wife in every port. And one day he said to me, he said, Gordon, he said, marriage is based on love. He said, love is blind, so marriage is an institution for the blind. Now, the Bible doesn't say that. This is not Bible teaching. But what I want to say is this. True faith is not blind. It is based on two things. Knowledge of the Word of God and knowledge of the Son of God. The Word of God acquaints us with the true nature of God. You know, it's difficult to ask God for something if you're not sure whether you deserve it or not, or whether God wants you to have it. The Bible tells us what we can legitimately expect from God in response to faith, what God expects of us. Some years ago, I was ministering at a seminar in Barrie, south of Sydney. And just before we commenced the meeting, this lady came in with an entourage of five. One was carrying a banana lounge, two of them were carrying pillows, and someone was carrying some medication. And she came in and they put the banana lounge down right at the front of the auditorium, and they put the pillows around, and she tried to settle in for about 10 minutes. And eventually she gave up. They picked up the banana lounge, picked up the pillows, off they went. I preached my message and I had a word of knowledge and I knew it was for her. And I said, where's that lady that was here at the commencement of the meeting? Is she still here? And someone cried out, no, she's gone home, but she's close handy. And off they went and brought her back. They brought her in and she came down and here she was again with the banana lounge with two attendants carrying pillows and somebody with some medication. And I prayed for her. The power of God hit her and she hit the deck. Now, when people go down under the power, while they're under the power, they will suffer pain. And so I watched her carefully. I ministered to a few other people, but I kept my eyes on her. She was in the main, the front of the main auditorium. She was not on the platform. And I kept watching her. And suddenly I saw a smile come on her face. And I called after her. I said, my sister, how are you feeling? She sat up. She stood up. She twisted. She turned. She said, I've got no pain. I said, would you come onto the platform? She took a flying leap onto the platform and landed on the platform. And she said, I tell my husband that when I get healed, we're going to dance. I said, is your husband here? She said, yes. I said, sir, would you come on the platform? And they waltzed on the platform. Now, she had had a baby. She was pregnant, but she had this accident. And she'd had this baby and had never nursed it. And the next person in line for prayer was a man with a little baby in his arms. And she told us, she gave a little testimony, how that she'd never nursed her baby. I went to this man, I said, sir, would you loan me your baby just for a moment? This lady would like to nurse him. So I gave this precious little boy into the arms of this lady, and there she nursed him with tears streaming down her face. You know, the Bible says, beloved, all shall have everything else that you may prosper and be in health, even as your soul prospers. The Bible says, by his stripes you are healed. The Bible says, for with God nothing is impossible. Romans 10:17, it says, faith comes by hearing. It comes, it's not already there. Faith gradually builds. The Bible speaks of little faith, much faith, and great faith. Faith comes together with the Word of God. The Word without faith is dead. It is just an empty promise. It takes a combination of the Spirit and the Word of God to produce a miracle. In Hebrews, the 4th chapter and the 2nd verse, for indeed the gospel is preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those that heard it. Here we have two groups of people. One group heard the word of God. They mingled their faith with the word of God, and the promises of that word became active and real in the here and now, just as it had done when it was first spoken, because they mingled their faith with the word of God. The other group, they did not mingle their faith with the word of God, and it says it did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those that heard it. There are three distinct parts to miracle producing faith. Faith comes by having the word of God in your head. Faith comes by having the word of God in your heart. And faith comes by having the word of God in your mouth. Paul speaks twice of having the word of God in your head, three times on having the word of God in your heart, and four times on having the word of God in your mouth. And firstly, faith comes by having the word of God in your head. There is no substitute for reading your Bible, hearing the word of God preached. Faith comes from hearing, reading, meditating on the word of God. Some years ago, I was ministering in Geelong, and the Baptist church, quite a large Baptist church, Friday night meeting. And I got a word of knowledge on arthritis. Three ladies came out. And one of them was quite crippled. She had to be assisted onto the platform. Her shoulders were consolidated and her neck was very stiff and she suffered a lot of pain. And I prayed for her three times and nothing happened. And then the anointing hit me. I said, my sister, I want you to do something. Tomorrow, I want the church to give you a counselor. And they will talk with you and teach you all the healing scriptures in the Bible. And then tomorrow night I'll pray for you. Well, the next day they put a counselor with her. I had lunch with her. And then that night after I preached, I couldn't see her there, about 700 people there, but she happened to be sitting evidently behind a very tall man. However, when I finished preaching, I said, now is this lady that was here last night that I prayed for, and I asked to learn the healing scriptures, is she here? And they assisted her out, brought her onto the platform, and they almost had to carry her onto the platform. And I said to her, I said, my sister, what have you been doing today? She said, I've been learning all the healing scriptures. I said, are you going to believe God for healing now? Oh, yes, she said. The power of God hit her. I didn't even touch her. She went down under the power, got up completely and totally healed. And I got her to run up and down the steps. And three times she ran down the steps and ran back again. And she wept and wept. She went and sat down by her friend, put her head on her friend's shoulder, and she wept uncontrollably for about 10 minutes. Faith cannot stand alone. It must be joined to a promise of God's. And when this lady got the word of God into her heart, then she was able to receive her healing. The Bible alone reveals the true nature of God. This is why we emphasize Bible teaching. Those who want to be strong in God must immerse their minds in Scripture, making themselves familiar not only with the words of the Bible, but with the true intent behind those words. 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Read the Bible as the living word of God. Claim God's promises as being personally applicable to you. The Bible says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. Secondly, faith comes from having the word of God in your heart. Paul was not content to leave the scriptures in his head. He said, the word is nigh thee, even in thy heart. The heart is the area of divine revelation. Heart and spirit are interchangeable words. The head is the area of knowledge. Revelation may arise out of the anointed preaching of the word of God. And mostly, this is the way it comes. The foolishness of preaching. You're sitting, you're listening to the preaching of the word under the anointing of God, and a verse or a word stands out like a beacon light. The second most source of spiritual revelation is just quietly praying as you read the pages of your Bible and just reading them. And a verse or a word will stand out and you'll know that God's spoken to you. Thirdly, faith comes by having the word of God in your mouth. Paul said the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth, in Romans 10:8. We must face the fact that there's no substitute for our own personal spoken confession of the word of God. This is where most people fail. They familiarize themselves with the word of God, getting it into their head. They pray over the promise and become convinced of its truth and power, getting the word into their heart. And finally, they balk at boldly, forcibly, and with shattering authority, speaking the word of God into the teeth of their need. They cannot or they will not do as their master did. Speak to the storm, tell it to cease. Speak to the disease and tell it to go. Speak to the mountain and tell it to move. In 2 Corinthians 4:13, but since we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, we have the same spirit of faith of Paul and Peter and James and John and Jesus. As we have the same spirit of faith according to what is written, I believed and therefore I spoke. We also believe and therefore we speak. The spoken word of faith. God created mankind to have dominion and authority. Jesus said to Mark in Mark 16:15-18, go into all the world and preach the gospel to everyone everywhere. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow those that believe. In my name they'll cast out demons. They'll take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. These signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Mark the 11th chapter and the 22nd verse. And Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things that he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. The spoken word of faith. Jesus said, I say to you, if you say to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will come to pass, he will have whatever he says. In the final analysis, it is what we say in faith that counts. In Matthew 12:37, for by your words you will be justified, by your words you will be condemned. Proverbs 18:21, life and death are in the power of the tongue. 10 years ago, there was sickness in our family. Connie had echo flu. And we knew three people in one street that died because of this disease. We nearly lost her. She was dreadfully ill. Our young son had a heart condition, and his heart was doing 180, 200 a minute, and he was quite ill. And he'd been twice to the specialist, and he was going a third time. And I had the fluid in my right ear. I was as deaf as a post in my right ear. And over a period of about 10 days or so, we were prayed for, anointed with oil, got all the church praying, and nothing happened. This particular Sunday, I went through the whole rigmarole again, and nothing happened. Monday morning, 2 o'clock, God woke me up and spoke right into my mind, just like a word of knowledge. And he said, get mad with the devil. I was half asleep, and I said, I beg your pardon. And again, right into my mind, get mad with the devil. Well, I knew it was God speaking to me, so I just quietly put the slippers on, went down the other end of the house, and I began to take authority over demonic power. I commanded the enemy to take his hands off the property of God. I had told him he had no right to afflict my wife, my son, and myself. And for 2 1/4... stomped up and down, taking authority over demonic power, commanding him to take his hands off the property of God. I cast out every demon between here and outer space. And at the end of 2 1/4 hours, the Spirit of God came upon me, and a joy came into my spirit. And I knew we were healed. Yet when I moved around, I still had this fluid in my ear, but my wife woke up completely and totally healed, completely healed. She was weak, but all the disease had gone, the temperature was down, and our young son went to the specialist for the third time that day, and they could find nothing wrong with him. But I was still as deaf as a post in my right ear. And at 5 o'clock I was praying. I had an appointment with the specialist at 5:30. He'd seen me twice before, and so I was praying. And the Lord spoke to me as clearly as could be. He said, have the fluid blown out. I said, God, I can't tell a specialist his business. And the Lord said to me, have the fluid blown out. What did see the specialist, a very nice man. And he said, Mr. Gibbs, he said, I've got this long instrument. He said, I've got a little surgical knife on the end. I'm going to sever the eardrum and drain the fluid out. The Lord said to me, have the fluid blown out. And believe it or not, that specialist swung around to me. He said, Mr. Gibbs, what would you like me to do? Have you ever had a specialist say that to you? I said, doctor, I'd like you to blow it out. He said, all right, we'll give it a go. Now I was praying like crazy. I mean, I thought I might lose my brains. I thought he might get the car pump or something. But what he did, he put a tube down my nostril. And he fed this tube into my nostril, kept feeding it into my nostril. I was praying. I mean, I didn't know where it was going to end up. Then he got a syringe on the end. He went puff, 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 and all the fluid came out of my ear, went down the back of my throat, and I was completely healed. I've never had any problem like that since. 4 months later, I went to see that doctor. Because that year I flew 5 times to America, mainly to appear on television, and I just wanted to check it out. And I said, doctor, do you remember when I came to you last time, you asked me what you should do? He said, yes, how are you? I said, oh, fantastic, no problem at all. You know, God is a God of faith. He's a God of power. He's God who answers prayer. I have the word of God in my head. I have the word of God in my heart. But I hadn't spoken the word of God in faith. I failed to speak the word of faith. Firstly, everyone has the potential to believe. Romans 12:3, according as God has dealt to every person a measure of faith. Secondly, great faith is born of prayer. Prayer turns little faith into great faith. Thirdly, faith is based on knowledge. Knowledge of the word of God, knowledge of the Son of God. There are 3 distinct parts to miracle-producing faith. Faith comes by having the word of God in your head. Faith comes by having the word of God in your heart. Faith comes by having the word of God in your mouth. Let us speak the word of God every day in faith on a regular basis. Hebrews 4:12, the word of God is quick, it's powerful, it's sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder soul and spirit, the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. The word of God, it's quick, it is powerful. Greater is he that's in me than he that is in the world. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. If God be for us, who can be against us? We're more than conquerors through him that loved us and gave himself for us. Giving thanks to God, who always causes us to triumph. I am strengthened with all might according to his glorious power. I love you, Lord, with all my heart and soul and strength and mind. And with your help, I love my neighbors myself. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for everyone who hears this ministry. We pray your abundant blessing upon them. grant to each one every desire of their heart according to your plan and purpose. Heal those that are sick. Uplift the downcast. Comfort the lonely. Restore the broken relationships. Let forgiveness and love prevail. Have your way in each one of our lives. We ask these blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
We do pray that you have enjoyed and been benefited by Pastor Gordon's message. Further anointed audio and video tapes of this ministry are available by faxing or phoning your order to 0247-399-409. That's 0247-399-409. Or write to Box 1082, Penrith, New South Wales 27511. If you would like to become one of Gordon's prayer partners or receive his newsletter, please advise your name and address when you phone or fax. It is